You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Jose Youngster with MMAfighting.com here speaking with Oscar Willis of the Mac Life to bring you a UFC 249 socially distanced preview show.
Could you step back a little bit more, please?
Is that because of the quarantine or just in general?
It's the haircut.
Oh, yeah, it's a bad haircut, but you can't talk about hair with that mop on your head. Well, of course we are here. It's UFC 249 Fight Week is finally upon us. We've been around this hotel long enough. You got here a little earlier than me. Now, before we get into the actual fights, give the audience a lay of the land. Like, what's been your experience this fight week? It's obviously different. There's no fans going to be in attendance, but in the terms of the actual fight week, what's it been like for you?
Usually fight week, you can sort of predict what's going to happen. You've got the media day, you've got your face-offs at the media day, you've got a very structured sort of week. This time, I think everyone's sort of just taking it one day at a time, much like they are with the entire pandemic itself. You've got to just sort of see how things adjust. And so that's kind of been the environment and the vibe. And also in the hotel, people talk about safety a lot and stuff like that. I definitely feel quite safe in the hotel because it feels like people are hyper conscious of what they should be doing. They are very social distant. If you sat down at one of the chairs, no one's going to come and sit right next to you, you know. So all in all, it's a really weird experience. It's hard to explain.
Yeah, I'm staying at the Fighter Hotel, and we have to get a temperature check every morning. We have to get wristbands swapped out. We both got COVID-19 tests. We got those things shoved up our nose. We got the pin prick, check for antibodies. There's antibacterial stations pretty much on every floor. It's a dead zone out here. I'm staying on the same floor as a few of the fighters, and they're going to check weight and maybe cut weight, but other than that, they're not really leaving their room. So it's a bizarre situation. There's no fans. Like, we say there's fans right here, but they're not allowed to come in. The hotel is fighters, UFC staff, and that's about it. But we did wrap up the UFC 249 official weigh-ins, no ceremonials. We had assigned seats. We were all 6 feet apart. Yep. Dana White did a scrum, and he also had to be about 6 feet apart. Some of the fighters were given the option to stare down. They all did. Some of them kept the distance, specifically Jacare kept the gloves and mask on.
As his
opponent Uriah Hall also kept the mask on. We actually, in our commentary, making note of fighters and staff who had masks and who didn't have masks. So let's talk about the actual fights. We'll start at the top. We missed out for the fifth time on Tony Ferguson and Khabib Nurmagomedov. That seems to be the fight. That's the one that got away, as Dana White has said multiple times. He's not sure that it'll ever happen. He thinks it's cursed at this point. But my God, man, Tony Ferguson versus Justin Gaethje is a pretty damn good runner-up. If we're not going to get Khabib Tony, Justin Gaethje, Tony Ferguson seems to be the fight that are getting fans salivated. Like, there was such an uproar that we missed out on this. The second this fight got announced, people were like, all right, maybe it's not that bad. So your thoughts on the actual matchup, and do you think Tony should have waited for Khabib?
Well, it's hard for us to say whether a fighter should or should not wait because we don't know their financial situation. We don't know how they feel. We don't know if they, you know, he's been out of the cage for a while now. He probably wanted to keep active. In terms of the matchup itself, I think at this point in MMA, you know, we all know about the trash talking. Everyone's a character, which we'll get to in the co-main event, I'm sure. So when you get the odd fight that comes along where the guys don't even actually need to say anything, they can just show up and stand in front of each other, and you know, like, oh, that is a fight I have to see. It sells itself based on their reputation, and that is Tony versus Gaethje to a T, really. I mean, I remember when Gaethje knocked out Barbosa and when Tony beat Cerrone, I was thinking after both fights, God, I got to see those two match up. So it is one of those fights where, okay, yes, we've lost Tony Khabib. It's no denying that's a big blow. And, you know, if an asteroid hits the planet next time we try and book it, that'll suck too. But yeah, as far as a runner-up fight, you can't beat.
Yeah, it's different in the build-up too. I mean, that virtual media day, there was no trash talk between the two. It's pretty much, hey, I'm badass, you're a badass, let's just get in a fist fight over 10 pounds of gold.
Almost, you know, where
yeah, it really does.
Guys who are just like, I know you're good, you know I'm good.
I think I'm just better than you.
Yeah,
yeah, you're not wrong. Similar to Eddie Alvarez and Justin Gaethje had that same vibe. They just want to see who was the most violent man in the UFC. This is pre like BMF title. This is the most violent man in MMA. But in terms of the actual matchup, how do you think Justin Gaethje stacks up with Tony Ferguson? Tony Ferguson hasn't lost since before women were in the UFC. That's how long of a win streak he's on. Speaking with some of the other media members, they think that Justin Gaethje poses more problems than Khabib would because styles make fights. So are you in that same camp, and what do you think of this matchup itself?
More problems, no, because they pose just such different problems that it's hard to say who poses a bigger one. You know, it's they're just completely different, so it's a hard comparison to make. As far as the matchup, I mean, I went back and watched both of the guys' last few fights, and Tony just gets hit, man. Tony gets hit a lot, and I wonder if it's the first time he's fought a guy who hits as hard as Gaethje in a while. I mean, like, Pettis drops him, and Kevin Lee dropped him, and you would say that Gaethje is probably more powerful and a better striker than both of those guys. So that, to me, is interesting, I think, especially if Gaethje can be the one to put the pressure on Tony. It's almost like a fight of who has to take the back step, right? Whoever gets to move forward will be the one to implement their game.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's where we'll see the fight decided.
So what's your official prediction?
Before the postponement of the California show, I'd have said Tony,
yeah.
And now I'm leaning towards Gaethje.
Yeah, I slightly favor Gaethje in this. It's hard to deny Tony Ferguson, but I just think Justin Gaethje has a lot more paths to victory than a lot of other of Tony Ferguson's previous opponents. He's coming off that big win over Donald Cerrone, but we've seen, like, so is Justin Gaethje. They're both coming off big wins over Dallas. Conor McGregor's coming off a big win over Donald Cerrone. So I slightly favor Justin Gaethje, but it's
Donald Cerrone dirty there, Jose.
Hey, man. Just Donald Cerrone has more wins than anyone else in UFC history, so we'll give credit where credit is due. But I slightly favor Justin Gaethje, but it's hard for me to pick. Now, dropping down to the co-main event, a matchup that I wish was getting a lot more buzz. It is, people are excited for this fight, but it's just the fact that it's the co-main event and what it is the main event and what the winner of the main event will go on to do is Henry Cejudo, the reigning undisputed bantamweight champion. There's no interim attached to that. Is going up against Dominic Cruz, who's coming off a long layoff, a man many people consider to be the greatest bantamweight who ever lived. I myself am in that category. I think it could have been TJ. We obviously know what has happened. I think he might have taken himself out of the running after that. Henry Cejudo ran through him in like less than 2 minutes. So what do you think of this matchup? Do you like that Cruz is getting the first fight at the first shot at Cejudo coming off this layoff, or do you wish it was someone else? Your thoughts?
I love it. I not just for the fight itself, which I think is really interesting, and I think the two of them stylistically match up really well. I like it because of the greater context. If Dominic Cruz can come back after 4 years, body riddled with injuries all the time, and then win a world title, come back after that long at the highest level and win, that's not just a great comeback in MMA, that's a great sporting comeback. And it's his second time doing it.
Second time.
I love it. I think it's great. And as far as the fight itself, it's one of those ones. If it wasn't Dominic Cruz, if it was someone else, you'd say, well, he's got no chance. Because Cruz is so great, because he is the greatest bantamweight of all time, you have to think, like, well, he could just make Henry look silly for 5 rounds. You know, he could easily outstrike Henry. I think for me, the bit about this fight that's going to get interesting is when Henry goes for those takedowns.
Yeah.
Is he strong enough, and has Cruz been out of the game for so long enough that Henry can control that? Or is it going to be a bit like when Cruz fought Demetrius Johnson and he was just too small to get Cruz down to the ground?
Well, Cruz did say he worked a lot on, quote, holding people down, getting working against the fence, working on takedowns, working to take advantage of when he can actually score takedowns. Those are a lot of stuff that he worked on. I do favor Dominic Cruz in this fight. I think you hit it on the head. Or if this was anyone else, I would obviously favor Henry Cejudo. Given what he did, like, I thought Marlon was going to beat Henry Cejudo. I thought TJ Dillashaw was going to beat Henry Cejudo. And I thought Demetrius Johnson beat Henry Cejudo. Well, I think actually Demetrius Johnson beat Henry Cejudo that second time. But that's another argument. Henry Cejudo has been made a point of proving me wrong 3 fights in a row. Cringe thing aside, he is one of the best fighters in the world. Two-weight champion. But I have to give the slight edge to Cruz. He's taller. Our own Pete Carroll did a really fantastic interview with Brandon Lochnane, Dominic Cruz's training partner. The thing he's pointed to was height and reach are going to play a major factor in this. Because Cruz, like you said, moves around a lot, makes people look silly.
Yeah.
If Henry can't close that distance and Cruz keeps the quote social distance in the octagon, inside the octagon, I think the night's his. But I think that fight is a lot closer than people are saying.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a toss up really. Mm-hmm. I think it's just that the reason why it's such a toss up is because stylistically, I can't picture what's going to happen at all.
It's hard.
Either way, I'm just like, well, I could see that, but I can't commit to anything in my head.
Yeah, I slightly favor Cruz, but I just wish this fight was getting a little more shine, but who can blame you after the lightweight title above them? But any other, there's a lot of great fights. This is one of the most stacked cards. We don't want to run too long on this preview show. So any other fights you want to key in on the main card and I'll take a look at the prelim card?
Yeah, I mean, look, we haven't seen fights for a while now.
Yeah.
And the last fight we saw was Yoel Romero versus Israel Adesanya, which, I mean, wasn't the best one to keep us going in these cold COVID months. But
cold? Well, we're in beautiful Florida, my friend.
But alliteration is key.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so for me, I just want to see someone flattened. and that's why I'm going to pick Ngannou versus Rozenstruik. Can't wait.
You think that goes three rounds? I kind of, my gut says it does. My gut says it does. That's two counter strikers pretty much trying to take advantage of the opponent making a mistake.
And no one's there to boo them. Oh my God.
I know.
What have I done? No, I think that's good. I think Rozenstruik's knockout of Overeem made people kind of forget how that fight was going.
Yeah.
And I do think there may be a little bit of like, there's levels to this sort of thing. And I think Ngannou could prove himself to be like, look, that loss to Miocic was what it was, but I am actually one of the top guys in this division and I should be fighting for the title.
Yeah, I actually think in Francis Ngannou is, if it's not Stipe, Francis Ngannou is the best heavyweight in the world right now. I think that rematch, if Francis gets past Jairzinho and if Stipe gets past Daniel Cormier, whatever that has, I think that rematch is going to be a lot different. Yeah, okay. Stipe might win, but it's going to be a lot different. But okay. I 100% favor Francis Ngannou in this fight. But we also got Greg Hardy, Jorgen De Castro is on the main card. Calvin Kattar, Jeremy Stephens, Boss's own Calvin Kattar, trying to get back in the win. Both fighters trying to get back in the win column. The prelims are also great. Fabricio Werdum, Alexei Oleinik, two, like, to call them veterans of the sport would be an understatement. Alexei Oleinik has fought in four decades, the 90s, the 2000s, the 2010s, and he fought in 2020s because he fought on that January card.
He's been alive for four decades.
He made his debut when I was six. That was his mixed martial arts debut, Alexei Oleinik. I was 6 years old. So he's fighting for Fabricio Werdum, former champ, one of the most decorated grapplers in MMA history, not just the heavyweight division. Of course, we had Carlos Esparza and Michelle Waterson fight. I can't believe it hasn't happened. Two former Invicta champions and a former UFC inaugural champion in Carlos Esparza. Obviously, you want to talk a little bit about Cowboy Cerrone, Anthony Pettis. That seems to be one that people have earmarked, too.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting one, right? Because those two are at such similar points of their career. But I do wonder, I think it has the potential to be a great fight, but I do wonder if it reminds me sort of when Cerrone fought Benson Henderson in Boston,
yeah,
where they're like buddies, so it almost became a bit of a sparring match as opposed to a fight. I think that combined with the no crowd, we could see a bit of a chilled out sort of contest between the two. But on the flip side, it could be the complete opposite. They could actually go, I mean, they need to win. Both those guys really need a win right now.
If I'm
That's
not
a really interesting crossroads.
If I'm not mistaken, did Cerrone take that fight on super short notice too?
Against Benson Henderson.
Yeah, the second time.
Yeah,
and then he like also like turned around, or he turns around a lot on a lot of fast opponents. Anthony Pettis himself said he has the mental edge. He beat him after all the first time. I have to favor Anthony Pettis too.
I think I favor Anthony Pettis as well because, I mean, Cerrone's been going up against absolute just killers right now.
And so is Anthony Pettis.
Yeah, right, but I feel like, for me, I think a lot of Anthony Pettis' issues in the cage come from motivation, whereas I think for Cerrone, he said himself in an interview with Brett Okamoto that he could see the light at the end of his career. So I think for him, it might be more that he's just starting to slip a little bit, whereas Pettis is slipping in motivation.
Sure.
Just by a bike ride just there. Chill out. He wasn't social distancing.
Not at all. None of these fans walking by us are really social distancing, but the prelim fights are all good too. You also got Jacare Souza and Uriah Hall. I want to circle Nico Price, Vicente Luque. I don't even call it a dark horse. That is one of my favorites to win fight of the night on Saturday.
There's so many of those, right?
Those two, though, are two guys that are violent, have all the energy in the world, phenomenal skills, and it's just a fan-friendly fight. Like, neither man has ever been in a boring fight. Nico Price knocked out Randy Brown with hammer fists off his back,
yeah.
So he's never out of it. Vicente Luque,
he's a madman as well.
To put this into perspective, how, quote, metal Vicente Luque is, and when he fought Brian Barberan, which is one of the best fights I've ever seen, he walked into the back, and he needed to fix his hair before he got into the camera. So you know what he used? The blood coming out of his forehead as hair gel. So that goes to show you what a man Vicente Luque is. And I definitely want to circle Charles Rosa, Bryce Mitchell. Bryce, as fans give us some love, Bryce Mitchell, undefeated, says he's coming off a twister submission win, the second ever in UFC history. Charles Rosa declared he has the best grappling skills in the featherweight division and called out Cron Gracie just to prove a point. That was after his Boston fight. So the fact that these two are going at it, I love this fight. Boston's own Charles Rosa and then Bryce Mitchell, who's been one of the more popular fighters to emerge in recent memory. Undefeated too. Was very upset that we didn't include him on our list of potential champions that are undefeated right now. But nonetheless, one of the most stacked cards in UFC history. Anything else you want to say before we send this preview show home?
Listen, I think, you know, to everyone out there, like, there's been sort of a division whether this fight card should be going on or not, and look, we're here covering it, so we don't really have an option other to say than we clearly think it should be going on. But I think at this point, whether you think it should be going on or not, It is. So just take the fact that there are some really good fights that are about to happen. Just enjoy them.
And we'll be back for Wednesday and Saturday too.
Saturday.
Yeah. We got two bangers of a fight. You'll see. You'll probably see Oscar walking around in the background of our official weigh-in shows and everything. Hopefully you're social distancing the whole time. But for Jose, that's Oscar. You can find all his phenomenal work at the Mac Life. He does excellent work. He's here on ground for crying out loud. He's risking his life, as we all are, to bring you lovely fans some fist fighting action. But thank you so much for joining us, Oscar, and we'll see you on Fight Night.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.